Welcome to the download here on 720 WGN, WGNradio.com. Well, coming up this weekend, the Square Roots Festival's back in Lincoln Square. The headliner, none other than the Jayhawks.
Tell me now if you came sneaking up behind. Would you know me? See behind the smile. Change like colors on a wall, hoping no one else will find what lies beneath it all.
That's a single everybody knows off the new album Backroads and Abandoned Motels, which is out this week. The Jayhawks are alt-country royalty, hopping on the scene back in the late 80s and riding the alternative rock wave into the early 90s. The Jayhawks have consistently produced music, as evidenced by this record, which is their 10th. The album is a collection of tunes written by guitarist and frontman Gary Loris, many of them written by Loris for other artists. The Jayhawks will headline at Square Roots Festival this Saturday, but they're also going to be in town early Friday night at Thalia Hall. But first, Gary Loris on the line with me now. Gary, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. My pleasure.
First off, I got to ask, I mean, I've seen you in Chicago, and the Jayhawks, of course, have such a strong presence in the Midwest, being from Minneapolis, but also here in Chicago. What are your fond memories of playing Chicago throughout the years as part of the Jayhawks?
Well, definitely it was one of our major stops from the early days, from when we used to play, like, the Cubby Bear way back in the day, and I forget some of the other little bars and clubs. Eventually, you know, doing the Metro, and you know, I remember doing a lot of shows there. Always reminded me of First Avenue in Minneapolis, and you know, playing the Vic Theater and the Riviera and Park West, and you know, kind of just always was one of our favorite towns.
Is there one venue that you think of when you think of the Jayhawks that you're like, that's the venue that we should play?
You know, maybe the Vic Theater. Sometimes I get mixed up, Vic and Riviera.
Yeah, right.
Is the Vic the one that's over by the Green Mill? I don't remember.
No, that's the Riviera or the Aragon Ballroom. Okay. Those are both right there. But the Vic is down on Belmont.
Well,
in Sheffield.
We like playing those theaters. We actually had a great time at Thalia Hall last time too. Yeah. So. That's kind of our new gigs, I think.
I want to talk to the new music and talk about the band. I'm always amazed. The Jayhawks have really grabbed Chicago's attention. XRT plays you guys constantly. I mean, you were in heavy rotation on that radio station. Are you surprised that some of your earlier music has had such staying power, and the fact that you'll hear brand new music from artists and then the third song in will be something classic from you guys?
No, payola, Justin. You know, we paid XRT a lot of money under the table. I know, I'm kidding. No, they've just always, you know, they've always been supporters. We kind of fit into somewhat of their DNA. I've known some of the DJs from even when Lynn used to work in Minneapolis. And I don't know, it's just one of those stations that seems to be kind of built for us in a way.
Yeah. You have talked about this before, but this concept of even when you guys burst on the scene, you know, you didn't really fit into a scene. You guys are Americana and I would say all country royalty in the way that you're playing at Square Roots Festival and you know, continue to have success in that genre. But that wasn't always the case. At the beginning, you weren't alt rock, but you weren't alt country. Like, you were kind of outsiders.
Yeah, I mean, we still are. And I think that's kind of why we've had a long career, because we weren't attached to one particular kind of wave that then went away and kind of it became dated. You know, we were always kind of in between the scenes, you know, between the genres. When we first made, we had major label attention pretty early on, but they didn't know what to do with us because there weren't other bands doing exactly what we were doing. I mean, the closest thing I knew was Uncle Tupelo, but, you know, we kind of, and we still don't fit in. We don't even fit in with the Americana music association, and we never really get invited to play, or never won any awards for this thing that's become kind of big, the Americana Music Awards and things like that. I think they just never were quite country enough for the Nashville people, and we were too twangy for maybe the straight rock people, and kind of just made our own thing, and never felt like we were part of any particular movement. And we, you know, we've changed and gone in different directions and come back and gone and done this and that. So, you know, we feel like we've kind of stretched the boundaries a bit.
Do you have to, throughout your career, did you have to resist the temptation to move in one direction or another based on the commercialism or you know, where music was going? I think of the Jayhawks and obviously the stuff that you guys were doing in the early 90s. You fit into that wave that was happening at that moment. Did you have to resist the temptation with the follow-up records to try and be something that you weren't?
No, you know, it's interesting. You know, I've dabbled a little bit with some commercial and film kind of stuff, and it's new to me to feel like you have to take direction, and we were always just left to our own devices, maybe because we were never going to probably be that big cash cow for somebody. I never remember feeling dictated to by the record label, even by ourselves. We always felt like we did what we felt we liked and what got us excited. And we never felt like we were told what to do and put pressure on ourselves. Maybe we should have, I don't know. There's certainly records where I went for it a little bit more, like singles and kind of a pop record like Smile was like an attempt to go for something a little bit splashier. Sound of Lies was a record where I just said, well, nobody's going to listen to this anyway, so we're going to do exactly what we feel. And, you know, and Smile, the Green Grass, all those kind of records, those were just those reactions to previous records. I think we wanted to stretch the boundaries from Hollywood to Town Hall to Tomorrow, the Green Grass. And Regular Music was a record that kind of went back to a simpler sound after kind of going for a big, fun, splashy pop record. So I think we just need to keep ourselves interested in that. We don't worry about.
Well, let's talk about Backroads and Abandoned Motels, the new album. These are songs you've written. A lot of the songs are songs you've written with other artists or for other artists. Talk about putting them all together for this record. What's the impetus for redoing these songs and putting them out as a Jayhawks album?
It was a suggestion from our friend and now band member John Jackson, whose real job is he's an executive at Sony Legacy. He helped put together a lot of the Jayhawks reissues when they were coming out in the late 2009 or something like that, when we were reissuing a bunch of records. Found out this guy was a huge fan, and not only a huge fan, but really cool guy. He's not a suit and tie guy. He's this cool young guy who is a big fan and ended up being this great, really good player. And he'd start showing up on his own dime and say, I want to come, can I sit in? And next thing you know, he's in the band whenever he can. He suggested that I think he's my little, he's just made it his mission to kind of tell the world that he thinks I'm an underappreciated.
That's a good person to have, right?
Yes, I know. And he said, I really want to, I think fans would really like this. It was totally his idea. And, you know, we hadn't written for the new record, and we thought, to be honest, when you write a song with another, with an artist or for an artist, once you've written it, you kind of hand it off, and they do with it what they will. And luckily for me, I've loved everything, the versions I've heard. But still, there are times you just want to do it exactly the way you want to do it.
Well,
so, and these songs fit our wheelhouse, and it was like a pure joy to do. And we did it really almost all live. We had 10 days of studio time. And just I always just loved when we, as a band, would get together like in a small room and just play together, and that's what this record is.
Yeah, and there's so much to, it's so much unpack when it comes to music, because you're writing songs for other people, and you give it to them, and they may produce them in a certain way, they may mix them in a certain way, they want it to, obviously, to what they sound like or who they are. But the concept of being able to take those back out, reproduce them, or just record them new, it says a lot about what is somebody's sound, or what is somebody, you know, this is a song you wrote, and now here's a song that you're producing, and they sound entirely different.
Well, yeah, we have a personality. I mean, the band is not me and a bunch of faceless people. We're a band. And there's Karen Grapperg, our keyboard player and singer, Tim O'Regan, a drummer, fantastic singer, Perlman, like Perlman, a bass player. They have these personalities that add up to be the Jayhawks, and no matter what the song is, it's just going to sound different when we play it.
For you guys, I mean, you have reformed a couple of times, but you know, this the iterations without Mark Olson. How does the band sound different without Mark? Talk about the Jayhawks' development, and when you circle the wagons and you put together a new lineup, what's different?
Well, I guess it's a different one. For me, the band is very stable, especially since you consider that we've been together since 1985. So that's 33 years.
Wow.
And Tim, our drummer, has been with us since late 94. Perlman's been there since day one, and I've been there since day 14. I think I missed the first 2 weeks of the band. So to me, that core has been the same since 94. Karen, our keyboard player, has been, she was with us in 92 and through 2000 or so, and then she took time off, and she had a baby and raised that child and came back in 2009, I think. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's one of those bands, like, you look at the family tree and you're like, well, there's only one person.
Right, right.
It was on those records. You know, most of these people have all been on new records since Tomorrow the Green Grass or later. So, but, you know, with Olson's very strong character, personality, it's certainly going to be different. I mean, we've made a lot more records without him than with him, and I think we developed a different sound. Really more dependent on a three-part harmony as opposed to two guys. But also it was like more like the Everly Brothers kind of thing. And with the Jayhawks, with Karen and Tim, it's more, I don't want to say Birds-like exactly, but it's definitely three strong voices, not one voice and two backgrounds. So I think that's the biggest difference. Maybe I get into a little less, I'm a little more structured, and have a little bit more pop influence than Olson. So that, I mean, some of that has definitely is what you would hear different.
When you think about 33 years or 32 years and 50 weeks,
change.
Yeah. You know, do you have to avoid being nostalgic? I mean, you've spent your entire career with the Jayhawks and done a lot of other stuff. I don't want to make it seem like it's the only band. You've done a lot of great projects on the side as well. But, you know, this 33 years of being the Jayhawks, what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, it's changed over the years. I think at one point, even when we kind of quit in 2005 or whenever, I think I didn't want to be one of those bands that just kept going and going and nobody could get rid of, and they're past their prime, and, you know, they're just doing it because they don't know what else to do with their lives, you know. I wanted to leave people kind of missing us, but I think that changed for me when I just kind of looked at a lot of my friends who are musicians or people who had hits and then can't get back to it, and or people I respect who are great musicians who never be able to make a living from it. And, you know, I started realizing it's really cool to have longevity. It's really cool as long as you still got something to say and you're not just putting out records because you need to sell, you know, sell concert tickets or whatever. Yeah. I've become proud of the fact that we've been through a lot of things together. We're kind of like a family. We bicker, we laugh, you know, we've shared experiences, war stories. And, you know, that I can look back and say, I put money in my pocket. We've succeeded doing something I love for this long. I'm proud of it. I don't do it because I have to, because I could probably just getting close enough to Social Security that I can probably get by, but I think I still love to do it. I need to get up and feel like I'm doing something creative, and I'm lucky enough. I just feel lucky that I've been with such a great band.
The Square Roots Festival this Saturday in Lincoln Square. The headliners, the Jayhawks. There'll also be a Thalia Hall coming up on Friday. The new album is called Backroads and Abandoned Motels. It's out this week. Gary Loris, I can't thank you enough for taking some time out to talk to us.
I need to say something about my friend David Hawkins, who has a record out called Bomb Pop. And David is from Chicago, and he contacted me through the internet, email, and just had me wanted me to sing some background songs on his new record, and I did, and I just want to say it's sang on like 4 or 5 songs. It's a record that has I guessed it on it, but other members who are probably more prominent would be like Ken Stringfellow from the Posies,
yeah, right.
And Pete Thomas from Elvis Costello's band. And, you know, I met Dave Hawkins back when, I think it's going by Hawk for the record, but he was like a road manager for one of my favorite bands of all time, and they were from Chicago, called Sold American. And they were a very, very cool band. And we played with them down at South by Southwest when it was just, you know, 87 or so, and it was a completely different festival.
Yeah, right.
And we really bonded with that band, and people can check them out. They're a great band. So
all right, awesome.
Put in a little plug there.
No, I love it. We'll check it out. Gary, thanks again, man. Appreciate you calling in.
Yep, we'll see you this weekend, I hope.
Where have all my friends gone? They've all disappeared. Turn around, maybe one day you're all that was there. What's going on?